And I'll assure you, he'll see these men through the one today, this morning. How many times I've got up to try to preach and stammered and stuttered around and had very little to say, and I tell you, those things just happen. Amen to God. But God's still on the throne, and he'll take care of situations like that. You know, and I'm glad we're not in some cultured, dignified church where when somebody makes a little mistake or just can't seem to get it all together, that folks don't sit there and look down their high-browed noses at them. I'm glad I'm from Kentucky. That's right. Kentucky folk are humble folk in their own character. That's right. You may not believe that, but they are. And not to say anything against you folks from southern Indiana. This man was born there. But I had enough sense to move. I appreciate the good smile. We'll make it through the day just fine. Psalm 91. I mentioned last Sunday morning. Any peace or rest in my soul until I try my best to expound it for a few minutes this morning. Psalm number 91. And we'll read one verse of Scripture. That is verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a tremendous statement. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's bow together. Father, I'm thankful this morning for your goodness. Lord, for the good spirit, for your presence, for your love for us. How unworthy we are of such divine love. But Lord, I'm thankful, and I want to be more thankful, more grateful for your love for me, and not for me only, Lord, but for the world, for mankind, sinners that you've come to redeem. May your gospel be made known throughout all this world as an everlasting gospel. Lord, may the mind of God be known, the will of God revealed to every person, that they might live and honor and glorify thee. Help us in the morning hour. Lord, I need your help. I need just a special touch today. And I pray that you'll give it for the honor and the glory of your darling Son. And save every sinner under the sound of my voice. And may we extol this morning his lovely, holy, and righteous name. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Before I begin preaching this morning, I want to say something. For years, I've known this psalm, read it, loved it, enjoyed it. And this particular verse of Scripture, I've never felt qualified in my ministry of 17 years to try to preach on this particular verse. And I want to say in quite honesty of heart this morning that I yet feel unqualified to stand before a congregation of people and try to expound upon this verse. But last Sunday, God so moved on my heart and blessed me in such a way and revealed to me, I think, a most blessed thought from this verse, and then during the week compelled me in my heart to do my best that I can with these lips of clay and this heart of flesh to preach to you this morning out of this text. And simply for the sake of a title, really the title doesn't have a thing to do much with what I'm preaching on. But notice what he says in the last verse, or last part of the verse, that he shall abide under the shadow. Notice that word shadow of the Almighty. And so I've titled our psalm this morning, or our thought this morning for the message, Shelter in the Shade. Shelter in the Shade. If it is a shadow, then it must be shade. And I'm glad, thank God, that there is a shadow, or there is a shelter that we can find under that shade. When we come to find shelter under the canopy of the Almighty God. Basically, that's what this verse is saying. That a man is blessed when he dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. Now, by way of introduction, I will simply want to say the two words there, dwell and then abide. They're virtually the same thing, with the exception that the word dwell has with it a continuation, and the word abide simply means that it can be intermittently broken. I really believe this is what our Lord had in mind in John 10 when He said that He was the door, and any man that would go in shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Our Lord was saying there that we can find a shelter in the shade or the canopy of the love of Almighty God. And these two words are synonymous, meaning virtually the same thing. And they literally mean to sit down in quiet. Church, I am so glad this morning that I can sit down under the canopy of the love of God and find a quiet place of rest. You know, so many times we sing hymns and the titles and the thoughts fail to register with our own soul. But the songwriter said there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And that secret place that we can sit down in and find rest is a place that is near to the heart of God. You know, it's sad, but so many of God's children fail to ever find that secret place of quiet rest that is near to the very heart of God. But I'm glad that we can sit down. You know, we live in a society that is geared to the fast lane, to the party life, when we're all in high gear and high motion, and not many people today want a place of quiet solitude. But I'm going to tell you, you build a house, bless your heart, after you've got about 3/4 of the way through it, you would to God you could find you a place of quiet rest away from everybody, everything, every sound, every noise, nobody but you and God in a quiet place of solitude. Hey, that place is in the secret place of the Most High. And they that dwell there can find shelter under the shadow of the Almighty God. And so I'm glad that I can sit down in a quiet place. It means to remain there. I don't want to get ahead of my message, but that secret place is referring to the Holy of Holies. I'll say more about that in a minute. There is an outer court, and there is a holy place. There's a brazen altar to come to. There is a holy place that we can go to. And there is a holy place. But I'm glad, thank God, that there is a holy place where the children of God who have been made priests and kings can find a shelter there and find shelter in the shade there of Almighty God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how does that mean the holy place? Hey, my friend, Jesus, when He died on the cross, rent the veil of the tabernacle in twain, opening up that holy of holies. When He saved you, He made you a priest unto God, paved the way, and give you the right and the authority to enter into that secret place. Hey, I'm talking about a place where nobody dwells but God. I'm talking about the home, the house, the dwelling place of Almighty God. Friend, I've got news for you. I've got a house, but it's not open to everybody. I don't want drunks there, thugs there, thieves there, whoremongers there, adulterers there. It's a secret place of my life where I meet with my wife and my family, and that holy place is a secret place of God where only His children that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and sanctified by the grace of God have any authority to come to. And so it means to remain there. And I preached all these years. I preached all these years that holy place was accessible to the child of God through prayer. That we can come boldly to the throne of God's grace. But I'm telling you, last week when I was preparing for last Sunday school,
God brought that verse of Scripture out of the book that I was studying in. The Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. I'm telling you, friend, you don't have to wait to dwell in that holy place when you go to God in prayer. It is a place where we can live. It is a place where we can abide. He that dwelleth, he that remains, he that has taken up his abode there, he that lives in the secret place of the Most High shall, my friend, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And thank God that there's shelter under the shade of Almighty God. So it means to remain there. Don't nobody leave me now. It means to marry. Thank be unto God, I'm married to my wife. Amen. And we entered into a covenant relationship. That means that we abide together. Amen. I'm glad that I can live in that secret place of the Most High in the same fashion that I live in marriage with my wife. Somebody said, are you married to God? Married to His Son. Amen. He's put the wedding ring on my finger. That's right. He's put the royal apparel on my back and the shoes on my feet. He's provided me a house to live in, a table to dine at. He provides all the necessities of life. He's put the clothes on my back that I wear. He provides for me as a man provides for his wife. And if you don't provide for your wife, you've denied the faith, buckwheat, and you're worse than an infidel. I don't have any time for a lazy rascal who will not provide for his wife. I don't care who he is. Honey, I tell you, when a man gets married, it's work time. There's a lot of four-letter words in our society today, but they've left out some of the best ones, and one of them is work. There ain't nothing wrong with work. Somebody said, are you married to Jesus? Absolutely. If you don't think so, read the Song of Solomon. I'm His and He is mine. Oh, I'm His bride and He's my bridegroom. Thanks be unto God. He's got hair like a raven, glory to God. And His eyes glitter. And when I look upon the face of the darling Son of God, it makes my heart do a double backflip just like it does when I look into the eyes of my lovely wife. Somebody said, you're a fool and I'll be a fool. I'm in love with Jesus, fellas. Amen. It means to marry. It literally means to take up house. If I take up house, that means I'm moving in. Lock, stock, and barrel. When I move over here at 1413 Island Ford Road, I guarantee I'm not going to leave half my belongings on Timmons Lane. Amen. No, sir. I'm not going to leave my clothes. I'm not going to leave my furniture. I'm not going to leave a pocket knife. Amen. I'm carrying a good red stag case today, boys. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I don't intend to leave one pocket knife. Amen. I don't even intend. Hey, I'm not even going to leave the memories. I've got a lot of memories up yonder. I'm going to bring it all. Lock, stock, and barrel to that new house. I've got news for you. When I got saved by the grace of God, I got married to another, and he and I set up housekeeping together. I brought lock, stock, and barrel. Everything that I had, I brought to God. And I'm going to tell you, if you ain't brought everything to him, you're still lost. If he doesn't own everything you've got and ever hope to be, you're lost. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you don't understand marriage is 50-50. No, it's 100-100. You know what some men want to say? Some men want to look at that little woman and say, honey, everything that I have is, or everything you have is mine, and everything that I have is still mine. Got news for you, fellas. Don't work that way. She's got just as much of entitlement to it as you got. You're his, you're hers, and she's yours. So it is when I married Christ. He is mine and I'm his, buddy. We belong to one another, locked up in marriage for an eternity, and he's given me the opportunity to move into his house, marry him, and take up lodging down at the house of God. Hallelujah to God. I feel about half like preaching. Amen. Now, don't nobody leave me now, and I'll get to the thought in a minute. I'm trying to lay a foundation. You need to know some of this stuff. And the writer of the psalm. We've been going through the psalms. So many of them is written by David. This one doesn't have an author. Doesn't have a title. It's just Psalm 91. But I'm not an intelligent man. I'm not deep in theology. But I really believe it was written by Moses, the man of God. If you'll notice that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You see, in Psalm 90 was definitely written by Moses. It says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And he said in verse 1 of 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In fact, in verse number 10 of Psalm 91, he says, There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. I'm not going to preach there, but honey, when you're abiding under there, thank God there's no plague that'll come nigh to thee. Some in this world is plagued with sin, but I'm glad there's a place near the heart of God, a place of quiet rest, where sin cannot molest, and the plague of sin will not kindle home. A child of God as they dwell in the secret place of Almighty God. No plague. In fact, he says in verse number 3, he said there'll be no noisome pestilence there either. You know what a pestilence is? Something that pesters you. You ever been pestered? Gnats pester you. Flies pester me. I don't like flies. Flies torment the living daylights out of me. Gnats aggravate the life out of me. Say, there is a noisome pestilence in society that can aggravate the life out of you. But honey, I guarantee if you'll ever get into that secret place of the Most High God and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, there'll be no pestilence, neither plague that will harm you there. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. And it's a secret place. You know why? Hey, that crowd can't even find it there. Hallelujah to God. You know why they can't find it? They don't know the way, but I found the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I found the way to the heart of God. It's through His Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, the reason I say this is Moses, there's two thoughts on the interpretation of the Scripture. One of the thoughts is taken from nature, from the world that we live in. And there's nothing wrong with it. It gives us the idea of a mother chicken, a mother hen, under the shadow of the Almighty. Takes on the idea of His wings as being a canopy or a shelter. And one of the ideas is that it's like a mother hen that in the time of storm spreads out her wings and lets that little brood of chickens come running up and under her wings, and she closes down those wings and provides a shelter there when the storms outside are raging. I was reading in a book. I've got it on my shelf in there. It's called The Thoughts or something of the Dying, the Saved and the Dying. And it talks about years ago a prairie fire that swept through the western plain states. And it said those men were pursuing that fire and trying to put it out. And they came upon this little a prairie farm where a man and his wife had lived. And it destroyed everything that they had. And as those men pursued the fire and tried to put it out, it said that one man saw a charred glob of something laying on the ground outside that little house. And said as he walked by it, he simply kicked that charred mess with his right foot. And when he kicked it, he said the burnt piece fell over, and out from and under it run 7 or 8 little old fresh baby chicks that had just been born to their mama. He said, and to his surprise, that charred mess that he kicked was a mama hen. And I'm telling you, friend, that mama hen gave her life that them little chickens might have life. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that one day Jesus spread out His wings. Hallelujah. And let me come into the canopy of God's wings there to protect me from the wrath of God that is bound to come upon all unbelievers. Some days a fire coming one day, but I'm glad, thanks be unto God, I've heard, hallelujah, I've found a shelter under the canopy of Almighty God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that thought. But the reason I said Moses wrote this, God give Moses
the design for the tabernacle and the ark that went under it. David writes in the Psalms about being under the shadow of his wings. I believe that's the real thought. That secret place, ladies and gentlemen, is under the shadow of those two cherubim that outstretched their wings and looked face to face, and their wings spread out over the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat of God. It was designed by God. The plans were given to Moses, and the men of cunning craftiness designed it to the glory of God. And Moses set up that tabernacle. He set up that ark. Everybody listen now. Oh my God, I'm about to rapture on out and go to glory. You can stay here if you want to, but I'm about to go. Amen to God. Moses knew what it was. Moses knew what it was to enter into that old tabernacle and walk back behind that veil. And there, the Shekinah glory of God would hover over that mercy seat. And as it hovered over that mercy seat, above the cherubim and above their wings, it was so glorious that it would cast a shadow over the mercy seat under them. And it was what was under those wings, my friend. That's the secret place of the Most High God. Right there on the mercy seat of the covenant of the grace of God. Where there's a shadow, you can abide there and find shelter in the shadow of the wings of God. Ain't that right? I'm going to try to hurry. It's already 12:15. I wonder if somebody didn't need to be saved. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what was under that shadow? See, the Shekinah glory was up here. The wing, it rested above the mercy seat. There's those outstretched wings. And beneath those wings is the shadow. That's what Moses was putting his confidence in. That's where he liked to get to. Don't you like to get into the presence of God? My God, I'm so sick and tired of coming to church and God not showing up. Oh, man, I tell you, there's nothing like getting into the presence of God under the spout where the glory runs out. Woo, I need Him. I want Him. Hallelujah to God. At His right hand in His presence is fullness of joy. At God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. May God let me dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd and a shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. And surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to die, and right now I wouldn't care if I did. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is about to preach me to death, but what a way to go. Physically, brethren, I'm shot, but spiritually I'm still hanging in there. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Now I'm going to run by these and then I'll get to the message. I ain't got to the message yet. There are some things that are under the shadow of those wings. May I say, number one, the mercy seat is there. Thank God I found mercy, Brother Jerry. I ought to be in hell. But I found mercy. Hey, that's what he's saying. He's saying there's shelter. They shelter in the shade because there's mercy with the Lord. I'm telling you, the mercy of God endureth, my friend, all generations. Every one of them. Thank God for mercy and grace that's free and meted out. Without price you can come and buy. Without money and without price. Yeah, come and drink freely at the fountain of the water of life. It's free for whosoever will. Let him come. The mercy seat's there. Do I need to go any further? Do you know what they did on the mercy seat? And every now and then they used H-Y-S-S-O-P. I don't know how to pronounce that word. They put her on there with hyssop. And they sprinkled that blood of the sacrifice on top of that mercy seat.
You can believe what you want to believe. And I know that it was the blood of animals. But gentlemen, you've got to remember, and ladies, that that mercy seat represents the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. And I'm telling you that a priest, it'd be a stench to the nostrils. If every year when he walked in there to offer blood on that mercy seat, if that blood, what's the big word? Coagulated. In other words, if it had corrupted. And I'm telling you, you can believe what you want. But I believe as long as that tabernacle was a stand in the blood from year to year to remind them of Christ and His precious blood was still fresh on the mercy seat every time they went in. Somebody said, you're a fool. Believe what you want to believe. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, but when they uprooted that tabernacle and moved her out, I believe God supernaturally done away with that old blood of the bulls and the goats once again to prove to them that it was only a temporal thing. But there while the sacrifice to come, hallelujah to God, who should not see corruption, neither would his soul be left in hell, but his blood, fresh as a daisy in the morning dew, was offered on the covenant of the mercy seat in glory, and it's there today. Old sinner, come to Jesus now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Hallelujah, it's in the blood, gentlemen. Therefore, being freely justified by blood, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to God. I'm going to tell you something else that was out of the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark of the Covenant represented God's covenant with man. Man, I'm telling you, when you read Genesis and read about that little old rainbow, God's covenant with Noah, God made a covenant with Noah. Put that little rainbow in the sky. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, as long as that little rainbow appears after a shower, you don't ever have to worry about this world being destroyed by water no more. Where there is a covenant, there is no destruction. I'm about ready to rapture. I didn't ever dream God do that. I'm telling you, hey, unto God. Where there's a covenant, there's no destruction. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that I've entered into a covenant relationship with Christ, and there's no destruction to come. Oh, I'm safe and sheltered under the shadow of the Almighty. I've found a secret place where I can dwell under the canopy of the love and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the Ark of the Covenant. God ain't got my message yet. Now, in that ark was three things. Number one, there was a golden pot of manna. When that manna fell from heaven, God told him, said, I want to preserve that to all generations. Somebody said, brother, Lord. You know what I believe? I believe that God took that ark to heaven. Read the book of Revelation. When heaven opened, John saw the Ark of the Covenant. I believe it's there, and I believe that manna is still there because they preserved it to all generations. I believe that Aaron's rod that budded is still there, and the tables of the law that Moses brought down is still there. He preserved that bread and he preserved the Word of God, gentlemen. She's still preserved in the King James. I believe it. And I'm going to tell you, there's also resurrection power. Friend, I'm telling you, you can go to the bank with them three things. They'll not be altered. They're like the law of the Medes and the Persians. You're not going to alter them. Honey, I'm telling you, God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It will not be altered. And it's preserved there. But I'm going to tell you what. God done one step further. He said, I give them bread to eat in the wilderness. And he said, but I'm going to give them the bread that come down out of heaven. He said, amen to God. He said, I give them the Word in the wilderness, but I'm going to give them the living Word. And he said, I give them a rod that budded, old Aaron's rod that budded, resurrection power. But he said, I'm going to give them real resurrection power. Hey, and those three items are in heaven right now. Amen to God, preserved in the presence of God. But I got news for you, honey. I am about ready to rapture now. Hey, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if them three wasn't there. I'm telling you, there's one there that takes up the place of three. They three in one. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah to God. He's the rod that buddeth. He's the bread of life. He's the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And I'm glad they got out there a shelter under the shadow of the Almighty. They wasn't tired, left God and run away. Did you get that? There's three in one. Now let that Jesus only crowd take that to the bank.
Amen.
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 You're right.
Amen.
They're all there. Now. The message. I'm going to say three things very quickly and we're going to the house. If I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty and abide, if I dwell in the secret place of the Almighty and I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, number one, it keeps us. Number two, it kindles a fire within us. And number three, there's knowledge there to be had for us.
Amen.
You can get a hold of that. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, you're going to key just preach on being preserved? No, not necessarily. He keeps us. Look here, when Jesus was born in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8, I believe it is, there were shepherds in the fields keeping, there's the word, keeping watch over their flocks by night. I'm so glad.
Yes! Yes!
I'm tired. Y'all don't mind if I practice what Jesus done, preach something now while, do you? I'm glad, thank God, that there's a shepherd, a chief shepherd. Honey, he's a watching, keeping watch over my soul by day and by night. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, he keeps us, glory to God. He has preserved us and we are kept by the very power of Almighty God. Sitting down don't help me. Still tired. Hallelujah to God. Kept by the power. Hey, Keith, now look here. Don't nobody leave me now. He keeps his sheep. Are you listening to me? Three things about how he keeps them very quickly. If we are dwelling in the secret place with him, under the shadow of the Almighty, I want to say, number one, he keeps us from wandering. You're not going astray from Daddy's house, friend. Now, if you're living out in the outer court, you might wander a little bit. You might die in the wilderness. But all I'm glad is a secret place.
Yeah.
And the Holy of Holies, and that veil's been rent in twain.
Yes, sir.
You see little sheep? Them shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep at night, and little sheep are prone to wander. In fact, buddy, some of them are prone to go to places they ought never go. They are prone to visit places they ought never to visit.
Amen.
I don't believe a child of God has got any business at the gymnasium, at the theater house, at the ball game, to all that mess of beaches, the lodges, the gooses, the mooses, all that bull crap. I'm telling you, God people ought to dwell in a secret place with God. And if you're there, you will not patronize places you used to. Them little feet, they just like to go. Oh, Lester Roloff went to Dr. Law and said, Dr. Law, I like to dance. Said, man, I got a problem with my feet. Dr. Law said, you got a problem with your heart. My heart? Makes me dance? He said, I like to play cards. He said, I got a problem with my hands. Dr. Law said, no, Lester, you don't have problems with your hands. You got a problem with your heart.
Right.
I'm telling you, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, what do you mean he'll keep you from wandering? I'm going to tell you something. When my kids lived at home, the only way they got to a place that they had no business going is if they'd sneak out and I didn't know it.
Yes.
I wasn't about to take them to some of these ungodly hell holes in the world.
Amen.
And if I found out they'd been there, I'd skin their stinking hide up one side down the other.
Amen.
Old Benny and Jason Moody, bless God, went up here when Benny worked at the radio station and dived off a diving board up here, got in the swimming pool days in, and dived off and busted his head all up and told me he fell on a pile of bricks out there. I looked for blood. I said, boy, there's blood all over the bathroom, all over. I said, boy, I can't understand if you hit your head on a pile of bricks. I said, why ain't there no blood? Oh, he said, Daddy, that's where it happened. I said, God said in my heart, he's a lying little devil, and one of these days the truth will come out. Some we pulled in the driveway out there one day in the car, and this ain't been maybe two, three years ago. He said, Daddy, I got to confess something to you. I said, well, let her rip. He said, remember that day I said that I hit my head on them bricks? I said, here it comes, Lord. That little sheep was somewhere. Amen to God. He had no business of being. I said, yes, sir. I know. He said, Daddy, I didn't hit it on no brick. I said, I know you didn't. He said, it was concrete, though. He said it was a swimming pool, but bless God, days in, split my brains. I tried to do a backflip and split my brains wide open. I'm telling you, hey, if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, divine under the shadow of the Almighty, God will keep you from places that'll get you in serious trouble. I won't say secondly, not only will it keep you from wondering, but I'm going to say this, it'll not only keep you from wondering, it'll keep you when the heat's turned up. Yeah. He did say, you shall abide under the shadow.
Yeah.
Somebody said the other day, it's 104 degrees in Romania. I didn't feel a bit of heat in my father's house, air conditioned. Got a nice shadow above me to shelter me from the sun.
Amen.
I want everybody to get what I'm talking about, the heat. I'm talking about pressure, buddy.
Yeah.
You think the pressure ain't on? Give up. Turn back. I've preached here for 10.5 years. Bless God, and 90% of us been, keep on going. You look back, you run, you're done. You turn back, you might as well hang her up. Honey, there ain't no turning around. They ain't going back. Somebody said, what if you go back? I say, if you go back, you never got in. Somebody said, you're an Armenian. Oh, no, if you get in, you're in. But I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of them trying to get on that straight and narrow way that never got there. Amen to God. Now I'm telling you, the heat's up, buddy.
Right, sir.
We're going to get under some pressure.
Yes, sir.
Slick Willie and that crowd in Morston's going to see to it.
Yep.
Somebody said, what are you going to do if they come and take your guns? I'll just be honest, I ain't quite give that all thought I want to give yet. Some of them ain't have, but a few of them's pretty precious to me. I don't much relish nobody taking away my rights.
Right.
I'm going to say something that's going to shock the booties plumb off of half of you. I don't like to smoke. I don't enjoy smoking. I don't enjoy being around cigarette smoke. I don't like to smell it. I don't like to inhale it. It's rough on the lungs. But I'm telling you, when them egg suckers in Washington start telling a man that he can smoke here and can't smoke there, and he can't smoke in a place, and he can't smoke here, and he can't do this, a bunch of communist devils ain't nothing but a bunch of communists. Now, somebody said, well, I don't want them to smoke. Then quit your gripe and moaning and bellyaching for them not letting your youngins pray in the public school. Rights are rights.
Yes.
Quit griping about them killing babies. They've got their right if that's the way we feel about it. The pressure's coming on, buddy. Are you under that shadow? When the heat's turned up. And by the way, Jesus is going to turn up a little heat. He's got to. To get all the wrinkles out. You know how you get out wrinkles? Talk about in Ephesians 5. You're going to present yourself at church without spot or wrinkle. He's got to get the spots. He's got to wash it. To get out the wrinkles, he's got to iron it. And an iron takes heat, buddy, and it takes pressure.
Amen.
Grandma used to put on them old irons. That old heart, she'd set it on the coals and set another up. And she'd set that down and set it. And when they get hot, and them old irons used to weigh 50 pounds, I thought. You know why? I'd have a lot of pressure to get. They didn't have non-iron, but Mama irons mine. She don't want her husband going to preaching looking like some beggar. Clothes on, bless God, looks like a pair of pajamas he slept in for a month. It's all irons, my clothes. Amen. It takes pressure to get out the wrinkles. Now I'm telling you, God will turn up the wrinkles. Somebody said, Brother Hoffman, you illustrate that? The Lord turned around and looked at a man one day by the name Peter and said, Peter, said Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you to make sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm getting ready to turn up the heat on you, buddy, to see what you made out of.
Amen.
See if you're really going to stick by the stuff. You know what the bearded prophet called a man of God or a person, a child of God that had been through the fires and come out pure? He said, they're pure Jerusalem steel.
Amen.
That's what I want to be, pure.
Yeah.
Jerusalem steel. Purified in a furnace of fire 7 times, glory to God, and come out right for God. Now I'm telling you, if you've drawn up near to the heart of God, friend, Brother Nolan, when I was 17 years ago, when I went to Rumsey, Kentucky, and started to preach, big flare up in the church, like he always does, a bunch of egg sucking devils, and problem flared up in the church, and I called him as my pastor. What I should do? And he said, "There's only one thing you can do." He said, "Just draw up real close to the heart of God." Well, that sounded good to me. But the time I didn't know best about drawing up to nothing but the table and eating what Mama put on it. Are you listening to me? Most Baptists, they don't know a thing about drawing up close to the heart of God. Like old John the Beloved laying his head over there.
Yeah,
boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. John, you're closer to him than I am. Ask him what's going on. Do you ever feel far away from him? Somebody else is up there. Ask him what's going on. Ask him. He said, John is the one that dips with me in something. John knew. John knew it was Judas. John knew! I'm telling you, there's a place that you can know. Keep you from wandering. They keep you when the heat's turned up. It'll keep you from the predators. Do you know that Simon Peter, the devil wanted to sift him as wheat, and Simon Peter's the very man that wrote, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Tell me one predator of the child of God that's going to ease back in that secret place.
Amen.
Yes, man.
There you are all sitting back in God's house in that secret place. Got your feet reared up, and the lion sticks his head, tries to stick his head. And all at once, the living word says,
Ugh!
You know what that lion does? That lion goes, meow, meow. He keeps you from predators. They're out there. I'm telling you, there's whoremongers out there that like to drag every one of you women into sin. Whoa, there's heifers out there that like to drag you men down into the gutter of adultery. There's men out there practicing pornography that would like to have every one of your babies.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you don't get right with God and stay right with God and find that secret place, the sad story of it is, they'll get some of them.
Amen.
He keeps us. And then He kindles a fire within us. And I don't have time to preach all this, but He kindles a holy zeal. Oh, if I know, I want a holy zeal for God. Them two men was walking on the road in Emmaus. Not one Jesus popped up and went to walking with him. And they were saying, oh, boy, things are bad. And Jesus said, hey, what is this coming out of your mouth? They said, well, are you a stranger in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
And besides being a stranger, this is the third day. He said, I know it.
Yeah.
And those men did not know who he was. But when he departed from them, after he broke bread and departed from them, that one said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke? Folks, son, I want a holy zeal for God. I want to come into the church on Sunday morning singing and shouting. I want to get cranked up for this camp meeting, bless God, and be on fire for God. I want a fire burning in my soul for the love of God when these preachers and their families show up at Island Ford Baptist Church. Hallelujah to God. For them 3 days, I don't care. I don't pillow my head, lay down. I want to be here cooking, waiting on tables, running, cutting grass. Amen! I want some holy zeal for God. And I'm going to tell you something else. It'll kindle in you if you get up close to God in that secret place. It'll kindle a hallowed place in your heart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get up beside a God, bless your heart, a cussing and a carrying on. And that's right, no, and a living like a devil. And you go home and turn on the radio. I'm telling you, I like to faint it.
Yeah.
I had a fellow tell me, and I'm not mentioning the man's name, any of the two, but said, you know, brother so-and-so said, he was with me in a meeting and said, you know, and this ain't been long ago now. And this preacher said, you know, brother so-and-so, he likes to listen to the Wildcats.
Right.
And then that guy really shocked me. He said, I'm going to tell you something else. He said, every now and then, he said, I like to turn on that radio and pick up a baseball game. I'm going to tell you something, boys. It's been a long, long time since Brother Hall listened to a baseball game. And I don't have any desire to listen to a Wildcat game. I don't think you get up close to God, fellas. God does not allow sin in that secret place. In fact, somebody said, I thought you were a Baptist. I am, but I still got a little Armenian blood in me. You ain't going in without being holy. And I've got news for you. That priest, before he could get in, had to make an atonement for his own sins and the sins of the people. But I'm glad Jesus has done atone for my sins.
Yeah.
But you still ain't going back there with sin in your life.
That's right.
And then it kindles a fire for heavenly desires. I've just heard from heaven and it's all right now. Son, I'm here to tell you, you can have everything this world has to hold. But give me Jesus and heaven's glory.
Yeah.
I am ready to check out and go on to be with my God. If I could just take Mama with me, I'm just ready to go right now. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Amen. I don't want her to leave me behind. I don't want to leave her behind. But I'm going to be honest. If I had the preference, you know what it'd be? I'd rather leave her. You know why? I'm selfish. Because I know what it would feel like in my heart. I wouldn't want to live without her 5 seconds. And if God said, take your choice, I'd have to dump the load on her because I'm selfish. And I'd have to go on and leave her behind. That'd be selfish. But that's it. But oh, I've got heavenly aspirations, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so tired of the world. Every time you pick up a newspaper, somebody's killed somebody, somebody's raped somebody, drugs and all this and prison. I'm just so sick of this mess, man. I'm ready to go to a place where there's no sin to molest, buddy, where you can lay down in quiet rest near to the heart of God. And then I want to say there's knowledge to be obtained from dwelling in that place. And I'll close with this. I want to read this. Because I think it goes right with what I'm saying. Do you think that this Bible is written just for to take up space? I don't. Listen what a man by the name of John the Divine. By the way, John's a man that lady said on the bosom of Christ. He's also the man that was isolated on Patmos, just him and God. But he said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit and heard behind me a voice and turned around to see the voice. While he was isolated, Jesus showed up on the scene. But he's the man that lady said, I believe that John found the key to dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. And listen to what he said. The very first word that he wrote when he became an old man and had been with God. He said, brethren, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Hey, folks, John didn't get that out yonder by the altar. And he didn't get it out in the holy place. He had to get behind that veil where he could get his hands on the Son of God and look at Him with his eyes. Oh, I know he saw Him in His earthly ministry, but that goes deeper than that, gentlemen. That's a spiritual book. And he said, I've heard Him in that secret place. And I've seen Him in that secret place. Do you think Jesus reveals Himself with eyes like fire and feet like brass and hair like wool to everybody? Nobody did to old John. When John eased back in that holy place, when he got sanctified and got back in that holy place with no sin in his life and got back in that holy place, and Jesus appeared to him. And here's what He told him. He said, now, John, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to give to you the secret of my love. He said, John, in fact, I love the world and gave myself for it. See, I'm telling you, we have very little understanding, very little knowledge of the love of God. My God, we live like we don't have any understanding of God's love at all. How many times in 1 John, love your brethren. Love me, love your brethren. Oh, yes, that's knowledge, friend. Do you really want to know about His love? Then get down on your hands and knees in a humble way and ease up. You ain't going to bust through that veil either, buddy. You're going to have to come up to it slowly and humbly. And beseech God to let you back in there. And buddy, He'll set you down. Hey, He'll set you down under the shadow of the Almighty. And He'll say, now son, I'm going to lecture you on my love. Because that's a pinnacle of my salvation. And I want you to know everything about it. And He said, after I get done telling you about love, He said, I'm going to tell you all about life. Hallelujah to God, folks. Hey, I've just begun to live. I'm just scratching the surface. But I'm just realizing what it means to live for God. That He'd come that we might have life. Like that old preacher. Who was it? This morning preaching on the tabernacle. I only heard one part of it. It was Dr. Green from years ago. Dr. Green, not Oliver, but the other Green. And he was a preacher, and he said he preached a funeral. And he said he quit asking people what they believe. Because he said, you never know what kind of a response you're going to get from the audience or you're preaching to. And he made a statement. He said, he's preaching a funeral. And he said, I want to ask a question to the congregation. He said, what does this man here need more than anything else? And said, one guy spoke up and said, buried. He said, no, he don't need buried. He needs life. Amen. Gentlemen, that's what people Amen. Need more than anything in the world is life.
Amen.
Most Baptists are still dead. And I'm afraid some of them are twice dead and plucked up by the roots.
Yeah.
Life. And I'm going to tell you can have a knowledge of something else back there is these lectures. He'll set you down and say, now I'm fixing to teach you all about this book. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's stand together.
Amen.